Okay, welcome. This is episode 378 of the Divine Intervention Podcast. And in today's podcast, I'm going to be talking about 20 common pitfalls that medical students make during their dedicated periods. So I guess maybe to shorten that, I am going to call this 20 common dedicated period pitfalls. And this applies to step 1, step 2 CK, step 3, right? But I'll say probably more so for step 1 and step 2 CK. But you can definitely learn a lot if you're taking step 3 from this podcast. So if you're taking your USMLE step 2 CK or step 3 or complex level 2 or 3 exams anytime within the next 4 weeks, I would encourage you to take my MBME test taking strategies course. That's going to be on the 21st of this month from 2 to 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 5 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then I have a 24-hour review course that's going to be taking place from the 22nd to the 25th of March from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's going to be 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, I've had many people take these courses and they've done extremely well on their exams. And then if you're taking your Step 2 CK exam in the summer, I have a 75-hour school that's going to be taking place from May 2nd to May 13th. It's 75 hours. I made a specific podcast on that. I'll encourage you to look for it. Just do a search for DISK, D-I-S-K, in the search box on the website. You'll get more details on that. Well, that school is a very high-level, super comprehensive school and prep for Step 2, Step 3, Complex 2, Complex 3. As we know, Step 2 CK scores will now be one of the major determinants of a person's chances with interviews and the match, right? So now that step one is pass fail, and I'm going to comment on that later in today's podcast. So that school is a 75-hour school. There's a 40-person cap on it. So just shoot me an email because I want to make sure I really invest and attend to the needs of everyone attending the school. So shoot me an email through the website. There's still some spots left. Once I have 40 people, then I'll close that till I can hold another one, based on my schedule availability. Because again, my schedule is quite variable. But let's jump right into what we're discussing today. So 20 common dedicated period pitfalls, right? So I'll talk about 20 things. First one, right? Having too many commitments during your dedicated period. Again, I've tutored thousands of people in my life, right? And I've seen this story play out so many times. Again, there are some unfortunate situations where some people, just by the very nature of the way their lives are structured, they can't take off a classic dedicated period. They have to be on a rotation or whatever. But to be honest with you, especially if you're the kind of person that has been performing poorly on like shelf exams or practice exams, you're barely passing anything. Not having a classic dedicated period is pretty much shooting yourself in the foot. You need a dedicated period for most people to do well on this exam, right? You see some people, they are saying like, wow, I can't take off this time. I can't take this time off. Okay. And then God forbid, they take the exams and then they fail the exams. And then after they fail the exams, they then really do need to take time off to study for it again, right? Why not take that time off in the first case, really deploy your time, study hard, crush the exam, and give yourself good chances in the future? The thing is, again, is failing a USMLE exam irredeemable? No, it's not. I've worked with many people that are residents right now that failed USMLE exams the first time. There are just certain ways you play your cards then. But the thing is, you just have a much harder journey ahead of you compared to a person that has not failed the USMLE exam, right? So this is something that's pretty common these days amongst medical students. You see people, they are studying for step two and they're on like crazy rotations. And then they magically expect that by putting in 2-3 hours a day, they're going to crush the exams. That's not the way things go, right? If, for example, you've been killing your shelf exams, crushing them, and you're like, you know what? Oh, I'm going to be on this 1 month rotation. I'm putting like 5-6 hours most days. Then fine, right? But the thing is, you need time. You need time. You can't, most times during your dedicated period, you want to be clean and clear of every kind of responsibility. Now, the second common pitfall is what I call resource switch up, resource switch up. Again, I'm sure as you're listening to this podcast, many of you will be able to pick one or two things that you're like, man, I've wasted a lot of my time by doing this thing, right? Resource switch up. You see people, week one, they try this book and this audio resource. And then they don't follow through. By week two, they hear from their friends that, wow, there's this Anki deck I found that is killer, that is clutch. Or they see something on Reddit or an SDN. Wow, there's this Anki deck I found that is killer, that's clutch. And then they start doing that. They abandon what they started. They start doing that. And then week three, there's this new video resource that came out. This person is so clutch. No, right? The thing is, when you make a commitment, you need to stick to it. The only thing is, before you make a commitment in the first place, make sure it's the right kind of commitment. Make sure you're using the right kind of resource. I've made many podcasts on good resources for these exams, right? But don't keep switching up resources. Find one thing and stick to it. Think of it as a marriage where divorce is not an option, right? Find a good resource. And many of the good resources, people know what those good resources are, right? Find the good resources and use them, right? And stick to them. Even if it doesn't feel like it's working, keep using it. Many times, again, I've seen this. I'm not talking from a person that has no experience in this area. I was a medical student at some point. I took step one. I took step two CK. I took the now defunct step two CS exam. I took step three as well, right? Very early after I finished from med school, right? And again, I've tutored many people like pretty much almost every day. I work with a person or two that has been in this, or multiple people that has been in this exact same situation. I know what I'm talking about, right? Don't keep switching up resources. If you pick good resources at the beginning, stick with them to the end, right? Stick with them to the end. There's this thing with humanity now, especially in this age of many distractions, many things vying for attention, where people like to jump from one commitment to the other. They don't want to stick to one commitment, right? Stick to that marriage. Stick to that one commitment you've made, right? Stick to that one commitment. The thing is, the fact that something is not working out now does not mean it's not going to work out forever, right? You need to stick to that commitment. There are many times I've had a resource that I'm using. I'm like, man, this thing is really tough to use, right? But I stuck it through. And at the end, I was like, wow, I did actually learn a lot from this thing, right? So stop resource switch ups. Now, pitfall number three is not doing adequate practice. You see some people, they spend all their time doing content review. They don't spend a lick of any time doing any QBank. I've literally seen people like this. No QBank, no nothing. And then they are wondering why they failed the exams. Or they are wondering why they are not passing their practice tests. Well, that's what happened, right? You need to do adequate practice. At least at the bare minimum, for AUSMLE exam, you should be doing the UWorld practice questions. You should be doing the MBME practice questions that are available. Now, pitfall number four is what I call resource overload, right? Resource overload. This is something that is very unfortunate, but many people fall into this error for both step one and step two. Again, I've made podcasts specifically on these different exams and what makes sense to use and what does not make sense to use, right? The thing is, for step one, all you need is a QBank like UWorld, right? And then you need like one or two review resources. To be honest with you, one review resource, right? And then you need the MBME practice exams. That's it. That's literally it. That's literally it. But you see some people, they're using UWorld. They're using another QBank. They're using First Aid. They're using this other review resource, this video resource, this audio resource, this Anki resource, this, that. And then they wonder why they feel overwhelmed at the end of the day, right? The thing is, for these exams, you want to stick to the rule of threes. MBMEs, UWorld, and one review resource. One, right? A reasonable review resource. That's just the truth, right? Same thing for step two. All you need is UWorld, right? A few practice exams and one review resource, right? But you see people, they just overload themselves. They have these 10 things. And then they wonder how they'll fit all those things in their days, right? That makes for an overwhelming day for you. That's just the truth. Now, pitfall number five is using poor quality resources, right? Poor quality resources. Poor quality resources, right? The thing is, many of us know what the good resources are, right? And the thing is, unfortunately, some medical students are extremely lazy, right? Again, these are people that want to be physicians, but they want to lazy their way to it, right? Just do some research online, right? Like, if you go on my website, I clearly have podcasts that talk about, okay, or even on Reddit, I have articles. I clearly talk about, okay, this is what you're supposed to do for this exam. This is what you're supposed to do for that exam, right? But people just want everything force-fed to them, want everything handed down to them, right? Do your research. Find what works for you, right? Don't use poor quality resources, right? Like you see, like some resource that is riddled with grammatical errors. If a person is not willing to take the pains to make their material not have grammatical errors, don't get me wrong, I make grammatical errors, right? But I promise you, I make very painstaking efforts to not have grammatical errors, right? Again, I make mistakes. I'm not presenting myself as some perfect person. No, I am not perfect at all, right? I do make mistakes, but you'll see some resources, these things, like you read a page and you see like 20 grammatical errors. You look at their website, you see all these grammatical errors, right? If a place, if a person or an individual is making resources and they're not willing to go through the pains of not having these grammatical errors, guess what? Chances are you're about to get gimped, right? So I encourage you, use good quality resources. UWorld is a good quality resource. First Things is a good quality resource. I will argue not just on the strength of what I'm making, but on the strength of the results I've gotten from people. My podcasts, my shelf review videos are a good quality resource, right? The MBME practice exams, the MBME practice shelf exams are a good quality resource. Use these resources. They can really help you succeed on your exams. Now, pitfall number 6 is for people that have poor foundations or people that are low scorers on practice exams, using QBanks in random mode, right? This is like a classic preaching that is out there. Ooh, you must do your QBanks in random timed mode all the time. To be honest with you, there are some people for whom that applies. Most times, these are people that have very solid foundations. These are people where, oh, they took their first practice exam. They got a 240 or something like that. Then that kind of advice makes a lot of sense for them. But for many people, for people that are scoring low, for people that have like really poor foundations, they don't really understand much of anything. Doing QBanks in random mode, one, you're shooting yourself in the foot. You're killing yourself mentally, right? And you're wasting a lot of time. The thing is, when you have a poor foundation, you need time to build that foundation. So psychologically, you want to end every single study day with the conviction that, you know what, this one subject, I have learned it and learned it well. Like each day should have a focus, right? Each day should have a focus, right? It's almost like when you do questions in random mode, it's almost like you're trying to renovate a house, like patch things up somewhere, right? When the foundation itself has been messed up, right? The foundation is not good. So I'm encouraging you, if you're a low scorer or you have a poor foundation, to be honest with you, for most people, even high scorers, having each study day have a focus is more prudent than just doing things randomly. The thing is, the practice exams, the UWorld self-assessments and everything provide all you need, right? They provide all you need for you to not have to for you to not have to worry about like, wow, I'm not seeing a random set of questions. No, right? So using QBanks in random mode, because let's say at the end of the day, oh, you've seen some cardio questions, some renal questions, some endocrine questions, some MSK questions. Guess what? You've not really truly learned one subject that day. But if one day is like your cardiology day, in the morning, you've seen cardiology from your review resource. In the afternoon, you've done cardiology questions from a QBank. In the evening, you're seeing more cardiology from a review resource. Guess what? By the end of that day, you'll feel more solid about cardiology, right? And the thing is, you'll be able to answer cardiology questions comfortably. Those memories are more permanent in your mind, right? Now, pitfall number 7 is being a QBank transcriber. Right? The thing is, many medical students, they say, "Ooh, I'm making my notes from UWorld. I'm making my notes from this." No. Do you know what those people are doing? They're transcribing those QBanks, right? They're transcribing those QBanks. They finish their dedicated period. They have the 600-page document that they're never able to go back to. Again, I have a podcast on how to review UWorld questions and MBME questions efficiently, right? UWorld questions, MBME questions efficiently. UWorld questions, MBME questions efficiently. The thing is, it's better to have a 30 to 50 page document that you can review multiple times of your weaknesses than have a 600 page document that includes your weaknesses, but also includes a big smattering of all your strengths, right? So the thing is, you're literally wading through your strengths just to find your weaknesses in those documents. Those things make absolutely no sense for most people, right? So again, I will encourage you, don't transcribe your world, right? The thing is, when you're transcribing your world, you're not developing critical thinking skills, right? The thing you're supposed to do is you're supposed to read an answer explanation and then put like a 2 to 3 sentence note for a question that you truly got wrong because you did not know, right? But you see people, they write notes on every single question. They write like a 1-page note, like 1 full-page typed up notes on every single question. And then they're never able to go through those things. Again, that is not prudent or smart. Now, what is the 8th pitfall? The 8th pitfall is starting a big Anki deck during your dedicated period. I see this happen so many times. You see people, they're like, okay, my dedicated period is 5 weeks. I'm going to burn through this 10,000 card Anki deck. And then they wonder why they don't have time to do other things, right? The thing is, again, you need to be smart. You can't be starting, like, if you wanted to do a big Anki deck, you should have started it months ago, years ago, not during a few weeks of a dedicated period. You're not really taking the best advantage of those Anki decks in those circumstances. Now, pitfall number 9 is starting something you've never done during dedicated because others are doing it, right? You see some people, they've never used Anki at all in their lives. And then they're like, I see everybody using Anki and succeeding. You know what? Let me go ahead and jump into using Anki. Let me tell you this. I know a lot of people that have used Anki and have failed exams. Again, I'm a tutor. I know these things. I also know a lot of people that have used Anki and crushed the exams, right? The thing is, if something has not worked for you before, if you've never done something before, you need to think twice. I'm not saying you should never start new things, but you need to think twice before starting that new thing during the limited time frame you have for your dedicated period. You see people, their dedicated period is 4 weeks, and then by week 3, they are panicking because they started this new thing and their scores are not budging, right? Again, before you start your dedicated period, you should have a plan. This is one thing I do with many students that I work with. Before they start their dedicated periods, we make a plan of, okay, this is what you're supposed to do during your entire dedicated period, right? We make a day-by-day plan. Okay, day 1, this is what you do. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. Day 2, this is what you do, right? And again, the thing that works for you may not necessarily work for another person. That's the thing. Don't make your dedicated period plans based on some person's Reddit post, on some person's SDN post, right? Because again, what worked for them may not work for you, right? Like for example, back in the day when I was studying for step 1, I think I maybe read like 1 or 2 chapters max of first aid. Because for me, this is not me saying first aid is bad. No, first aid is one of the best books ever written in humanity, right? But it was not something that specifically worked in my own situation, right? So again, don't start something you've never done before. A study method that used, and the common pitfall here is with Anki. You see some people, they've tried Anki before, it hasn't worked for them, or they've never used Anki before, and then they're starting it just during their dedicated period. That is not smart. Now, what is pitfall number 10? Pitfall number 10 is not reviewing thoroughly. You see some people, they're doing QBanks and they are barely spending time reading the explanations, right? Again, you're just wasting your time, right? You're just wasting your time. You're just wasting your time. You're just wasting your time, right? You paid money for that QBank. That's one thing that boggles my mind sometimes. You see med students, they complain about how money is limited. And then they pay good money for something. And then they don't take advantage of that thing, right? They just, sometimes some people believe that throwing money at something or the fact that you paid for something guarantees your success. No, the fact that you paid for something does not guarantee your success. No, the thing is, you, the person studying for the exam, is the one that guarantees your own success. That's why, to be honest with you, this practice of like, offering like a score guarantee or something, I don't do that, right? Because when you're like, okay, I offer this score guarantee, you're not helping that person take responsibility. You need to learn to take responsibility for your life. Many people, they believe that some other person should be the one to take responsibility for their failures. Failing, again, there are people that, you know, they have life circumstances that arise that make them fail. But many people, again, and I'm not saying this based on, I've never seen this before. No, I've worked with thousands of students regularly, right? You see people, right? They always want to blame their school. They want to blame their school administration. They want to blame this thing happening in the world. They want to blame this. They want to blame that, right? The thing is, at some point, you need to stop, because if you're looking for excuses, you're going to find them. That's just the truth. If you're looking for excuses, you're going to find them. You need to get off your butt. Stop throwing a pity party and get on your butt and study, right? Put in the work, right? Take responsibility for your life. The fact that you spend $500 on something or $1,000 on something does not mean that, wow, okay, this thing is going to make you pass. No, you need to put in the effort. You need to put in the effort. You need to put in the effort. That's the thing. You see some people, they spent tens of thousands of dollars on studying for the USMLEs, but they don't get anything from it, right? And then they think that, wow, those resources are terrible. No, right? You need to also put in effort. The fact that you paid, the fact that money changed hands, doesn't mean you're going to succeed, right? You need to be responsible for your own success. That is the truth, right? You need to be responsible for your own success, right? So don't spend all this money buying a Q bank and then you are barely reviewing the answer explanations. Then what's the point? What's the point of buying that Q bank? Save your money and don't waste that money, right? So I'm encouraging you, when you have materials, review them thoroughly. Milk that material for what it's worth. And then pitfall number 11 is avoiding practice tests. You see some people, they're like, I'm afraid of these practice tests. I don't want to mess up my psyche. You know, I want to be in a mentally strong place on my exam day. Okay, well, I wish you all the best. Well, let me explain why that's a terrible idea, right? The thing is, those fears that you have, you think that they will magically disappear on exam day. They're not going to disappear because the day is exam day. No, it's better to face your fears now than to be facing it for the first time on exam day, right? You see some people, they are taking a USMLE exam and they've literally not taken a single NBME practice test. And then they get there on test day and then they are shaking to their foundations and then they fail the exam and then they wonder what happened. Well, what happened is that you did not know how to take those tests. Again, I'm encouraging you, don't avoid practice tests. In general, all the practice material that exists for an exam, you want to make sure that you utilize those materials. Now, what is pitfall number 12? Pitfall number 12 is taking the test on the strength of one recent big score jump. You see people, they're studying for step 2. NBME 9, they got like 180. NBME 10, 185. NBME 11, 196. UL Self-Assessment 1, 205. UL Self-Assessment 2, 215. Boom. Okay, I'm going to go and take my exam. Oh, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. Oh, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. And they go and take their test. No, that is not smart. That is not smart. Even the Bible says that faith without works is dead, being alone, right? You should not take your exam on the strength of one practice exam you took that, boom, you have this big score rise. Again, I've seen this story play out so many times, right? Again, I'm very private about my one-on-one work with people. But I'm telling you, I can make a probably like multi-day podcast on examples of mistakes that people have made in studying for the exams, right? The thing is, you need to have 2 to 3 practice tests where you score in the range you want before you go ahead and take your exam. You see some people, they are hoping for 240s, but their last practice test was a 210. No. Again, this thing is not magic. You need to be realistic with yourself, right? Now, what is the 13th pitfall? The 13th pitfall is taking the test due to pressure or some personal deadline when you are doing poorly on practice tests. You see, sometimes medical schools are like, you know what, you must take this exam now or take a year off or something. To be honest with you, if you're failing practice exams, take that year off. If you run out of options, take that year off. I mean, obviously, if your school says they're going to kick you out and that's the end of your career, then you need to find a way around it, right? So again, this is not a generalization, right? But you see some people, they're like, I must take this exam before the end of March. Come with me. I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. I must take this exam by the end of March. But they are failing their practice tests. But they are hoping for some great miracle to happen on test day. Again, don't shoot yourself in the foot. I'm telling you this. It's better to take all the time you need and pass this exam and move on with your life than to take this exam because of pressure, fail it, right? And then have to retake it and then have to start doing all these things to make your application better in the future, right? You're just designing a harder road for yourself down the line when you fail the exams. Again, don't get me wrong. Again, I'm telling you this. I've seen many people. Like, this is not I've heard. No, I've seen. I've literally worked with people that failed USMLE exams and now they're residents. But it's a hard road. and it's an expensive road. So you can avoid that hard road, that expensive road ahead of time by taking the exam when you're ready for it. Because again, these exams, they play a significant role in what your future is going to look like as a medical student, right? So again, I'll encourage you, don't take these exams because of some school pressure or some self-imposed pressure. Now, pitfall number 14 is reviewing the same question bank multiple times. I've done UOL 5 times, right? And then they're wondering, my scores are not going up or whatever. Many times those people, each of those 5 times, right, they didn't review UOL thoroughly. They didn't review it well. The thing is, if you do UOL and you review it thoroughly the first time, why don't you go to new practice material? Why don't you go to like an Ambos QBank or a Kaplan QBank, right? Or the MBNE practice shelf exams or something like that, right? The more unique questions you see, the more experience you build up. You can build up experience from doing the same thing 10 times, but your experience is more nuanced because it's not that same question you're going to see all through your exam. No, you're going to see questions that vary on your exam, right? So if you want to be ready, it's better to do many unique questions. It's almost like you're building many unique experiences that'll prepare you better for your exam. If you notice these pitfalls, I'm not just giving you pitfalls. I'm explaining why many of them don't make sense for people to engage in, right? So you don't keep making the same mistake. Now, pitfall number 15 is not doing question analysis to see why your test taking process is flawed. The thing is, many people, when they're doing questions, they think that all I'm doing with questions is to learn content. No. You should also be learning process. The thing is, you can learn so much about just mental errors you make in reading questions, in processing questions, in picking out answers, in picking answers from 50-50 scenarios, right? If you just did question analysis, right? When I do my one-on-one tutoring with students, this is one area that I focus on. For your specific situation, because the thing is, people have many different kinds of test taking problems, right? For your specific situation, why are you getting these questions wrong, right? You know the material. You've seen this material. You know the classic presentation. But somehow you find a way to fall for the trap and get the question wrong, right? In fact, this is one of the reasons why my MDME test taking strategy scores is super popular, right? Because people, they don't spend time on analyzing their test taking process. Right. So when you're going through questions, especially MBME questions, don't just look at why you got the question wrong. Ask yourself, okay, besides the content, was there like just a mental error? Like, was I the kind of person that I keep changing answers from right to wrong? Or I keep picking answers based on certain things I just fall for in questions. The thing is, when you analyze those things, you notice some people, that's all they need to start doing well on practice tests and to do well on their real exam. Now, pitfall number 16 is no repetition. Many people believe that, they just look at the material once and boom, it's going to stick in their minds. Folks, brethren, that is not the way things work, right? Even Divine, again, I know many people listen to this podcast like, wow, this guy must be really smart. Let me tell you this. The fact that a person is smart does not mean that they are going to be successful. But many times, if you're diligent and you are diligent and hardworking in doing the right thing, you'll be successful. Right. The thing is, before I took step one, my core content, I probably reviewed it more than 10 times before I took the test over years, right? Over like a 2-year period while I was going through my preclinical subjects. Right. So when you see me like I'm able to just come sit down and just give a lecture on anemia from memory. Well, guess what? I did not learn anemia once. I learned it well the first time. And then I kept repeating that material over and over and over again. Right? You see people in their plans for their dedicated periods, they just have like one pass through something. No, right? In fact, many times when I work with students one-on-one and we make certain plans, I try to make them go through key pieces of information 4, 5, 6 times during their dedicated periods, because those are things that you want to have on your fingertips on test day, right? So you need to repeat. Even, let me tell you this, even Divine repeats his material so that he can learn it and learn it well. Again, it's very hard for you to just learn something. Well, I mean, if you have a photographic memory, fine, right? But for me, I don't really believe in photographic memories. I believe more in a person working hard as the key to their success. Again, there are many other keys to a person being successful, but that's not the point of today's podcast. Now, pitfall number 17 is having no pathophysiological understanding, right? This is a thing that is becoming a bigger and bigger problem in this Anki generation we have. Anki is amazing, but your first contact with material should not be from an Anki deck. The thing is, step one is pass-fail. Step two, the NBMEs these days, what they're doing is they realize that, you know what, many people use these Anki decks. Many people allow, you know, let me just do the minimum I can, pass step one, I'll make it up on step two. The NBMEs these days, many of the answers are what I call derivative answers, right? Where it's a disease process, you know, but the disease process is not an answer. It's an explanation or a pathophysiology behind the disease process that will help you get to the right answer, right? So I'm encouraging you, you need to have pathophysiological understanding, right? You need to, I know that there are some people that say, understand, don't memorize. No, that's not a good statement for the USMLE exams. You need to understand first and then you memorize. You need both, right? You can't just understand everything and not remember anything and expect to do well on your exams. No, you need to understand first. To be honest with you, the way I study and understand something deeply. I'm a very deep learner. I try to learn things from every possible angle. But after that, I then start making repetitions in a convenient way, spaced out over time. And then that material sticks in my mind, right? So again, make sure you have pathophysiological understanding, even for step two, even for step three. You see people, they can whip out all the biostatistics formulas. And then you give them 10 biostatistics questions and they only get one right. And then they wonder what happened. Again, it's the lack of understanding. It's the lack of understanding. Okay. Now, pitfall number 18, I'm going to wrap up, it's 20 things and we're done. Pitfall number 18, unrealistic plans with too many moving parts. You see some people, they have these plans and in one day they're doing like 10 different things. And then they wonder why they are not succeeding. They wonder why they have mental breakdowns at the end of the day, right? Again, your plans should have like two or three parts and that's it. Do not have plans with too many moving parts. Do not have plans with too many moving parts, right? And then pitfall number 19 is the step one pass-fail fallacy, right? You see some people, I see these posts online all the time. You see these people, they're like, you know what? Oh, I failed all my practice exams, but I passed step one. I failed this. Oh, I got a 199 on UWorld self-assessment this, and I passed step one. Right? They feel good. They feel great. The thing that this step one pass fail thing has done is that for people with poor foundations, it's just postponing the day of reckoning. It's just postponing the evil day, right? The thing is, when you're studying for step one, you still want to put in the effort, right? To be honest with you, one good watermark I give people is that if you're taking practice exams, NBME practice exams, not UWorld, NBME practice exams, and you're getting 80% or higher on those practice exams, chances are you've taken away the core bits of knowledge that you need to transfer to your third year of medical school and to step two CK, right? The thing is, you see these people, they barely, you know, because step one is pass fail, they by the skin of their teeth pass the exam. And then they get to step two, that is a scored exam. And then they wonder why they are failing practice exams. That pass fail hid their poor foundations. I'm encouraging you, study hard for step one. The best, the most important predictor of how well you do on step two is how well you did on step one, right? So even if step one is pass-fail, have a high pass. Be the kind of person that, wow, you studied so hard that you are a 240 or a 250 level of knowledge. Even if you end up passing, yes, no one will see your score, but I'm telling you that hidden work, right? That hidden work, when fire comes, when the fire of step two comes, your hidden work will hold up, right? But those people that did minimal work just to pass step one, when fire comes, when the fire of step two, when the fire of step three comes, those people will completely crumble. So I'm encouraging you, don't use the fact that step one is pass-fail to minimize the amount of studying that you do. And then the 20th pitfall, my final pitfall is this pitfall of people saying that MBME materials are trash. MBME materials are not trash, right? Again, sometimes some of the materials may not be representative of the exam, but you highlight many similar concepts as you see on your exam, right? You need to do those MBME practice materials. You cannot keep shying away from them and expect to be successful. So I'm going to go ahead and pause here. As I do at the end of every podcast, I do offer one-on-one tutoring for all the USMLE exams. Step 1, Step 2 CK, Step 3, preclinical med school exams, third year shelf exams. If you're a medicine resident, I do offer one-on-one tutoring for the medicine in training exam and the medicine board exams. And then I have these review courses, again, a 24-hour Step 2 CK, Step 3, Complex Level 2, 3 course. And then an MBME Test Taking Strategies course, very popular. Tons of people have taken these courses. And then I also have a school, a Step 2 CK, Step 3 school. It's going to be taking place in the summer in May. There's a 40% cap on it. I don't have unlimited attendance because, again, I want to invest in everybody that is attending. And then I have these podcasts on the major podcast apps, on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Spotify, at least the most recent 150. If you want everything from episode 1 to episode 378, make sure you go on the website. DivineInterventionPodcast.com. If you actually subscribe to the website with your WordPress account, you'll get an email notification whenever I make a new podcast. And then I have a YouTube channel, Divine Intervention, USMLE Podcasts and Videos. That's where I post the videos that I make. And then finally, I also help with applications, right? With ERAS applications, with residency applications, personal statements, recommendation letters, mock interviews. I do all those things with people. So if you're interested in those things, feel free to reach out to me. Just shoot me an email through the website for any of these opportunities I offer. And then finally, I have a new website called DivineInterventionLifeLessons.com. DivineInterventionLifeLessons.com. If you go on that website, actually I have, it's like a series of podcasts that I make every week. I make about 2 to 3 every week, most times 2. Where I, you know, post a podcast on like, you know, Bible-based teaching on a common problem that people face. And again, many people have found that podcast to be helpful. I actually have the podcast on Apple Podcasts as well. It's called the Divine Intervention Life Lessons Podcast. So thank you for listening to me today. I encourage you, take responsibility, follow this advice I'm giving you, and you'll become very successful on your exams. Till next time, have a wonderful day. God bless you. Thank you.